Blog Talk Radio.
Hey yo, Sean, you Mr. Kingston.
Da di da di da di da. Oh, I'm feeling like you letting go. Da di da di da di da. I watch you from my eyes, I'ma love you, you see. And the way you are whining, and the way you are going, they say the man, I'ma try to rush you like the brain and stop. Yo, but baby girl, will you be mine? Let go, show your skin, because you're one of a kind. Me not gonna lie, girl, I must be in love, cause the way you are going, you have my car top. Girl,
they said he died, that he had overdosed on syrup. TMZ put that out there. Then it came out that he didn't die. TMZ refused to retract the story or apologize. Last I heard, he was at the hospital. Then somebody else said he was trying to commit suicide. So I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with Lil Wayne this much. Have you heard anything out?
I heard he went to the hospital. I didn't really dig into it. I didn't give a shit personally. That was just being honest.
You're so mean. You are so mean. No, Scissor is lean. Basically, he was overdosing on lean. And we've talked about that on this show before. And,
yeah.
you know, I have my thoughts on that. And I think before I even go into the whole, you know, promethazine, Loratab, and all that stuff, I don't know. I kind of want to make a video about, like, my thoughts on the situation. You know, I'm just the type of person, like, it's a medical drug. It's not just, you know, people use it to just get high and stuff like that. But there's people who really need that as a pain reliever, you know, as pain medication to make it through the day. So I think that's the thing that frustrates me with Lil Wayne and people who drink syrup. Like, it's just okay, because there are people, you know, like me and others who have chronic illnesses who are prescribed that and who use the recommended dosage. And I can have a bottle and it can last me 4 months. Whereas I know other people can, you know, illegally get a bottle and it'll last them 1 day. And the way he consumes it is what's getting him ill. You can't sit there and drink, you know, lean and mix it with alcohol and what they can put in there, Sprite and Jolly Ranchers, Skittles.
Yeah.
You know, this is like real narcotic, and people make it into drinks. And they do it a lot in Atlanta. I know they do it in Texas, where you're from. I mean, I've been to, like, the Velvet Room in Atlanta, and dudes had cups of, you know, lean with Sprite in there and the Jolly Rancher floating at the bottom of the cup. And it's like, hey, Shaw, you want to sip? I'm not drinking nothing out your glass. I'm good. You know, but people do that. You know, it's not – it's so commonplace now. You know, people abuse prescription pain medicine, prescription cough medicine. It's like, it's just the norm, but it's frustrating because – the people who really do need it, we get categorized with the people who abuse it. So, I don't know. I just hope whatever demons he's trying to fight, whatever he's going through, I hope he figures it out. But, you know, if he keeps on drinking that lean the way he is, that's definitely going to affect him and could eventually kill him, unfortunately, because that's the same thing that happened to Pimp C. And there's been a lot of people who died from, you know, overdose of lean. People forget that it's a, you know, it's not, you know, even though you're drinking it and it's a liquid and it's kind of pill form, it's still the same effect. As a matter of fact, it hits you quicker than the pill. You know, if you take a Vicodin, it takes, like, you know, 30 minutes to 40 minutes to, like, go through your bloodstream. But when you take some lean, that's, like, instantly. Like, you can get high off of that within 5 minutes. You know, so I have very mixed feelings on people who abuse prescription drugs because, you know, I think the most important thing that anybody can have in life is your health. And, you know, to be healthy and to not be sick and to not be dealing with chronic pain, I think that's a blessing. That's even more of a blessing than people who have money, people who have fame. So when I see people who are healthy and they abuse themselves by popping, you know, drugs and, you know, drinking lean and thinking it's cool, it's like switch places with somebody who has a chronic illness or switch places with somebody who has cancer or who really needs these pain medicines, you know, who really needs to have a fentanyl patch or who really needs Dilaudid. And then, you know, you're doing it for recreational sport, but do, you know, switch places with somebody who really needs those medicines and then see if you would still be doing it as recreation.
Well, the thing with lean is it actually, whenever you do get a cold and you drink enough lean and everything, I've tried it once and I couldn't fuck with it. It was too strong.
Everybody
that was sipping it, they were pretty much out. They were just laying there like sleeping zombies. And I didn't like the feeling it was because it was strong. It hit me square in the stomach when I drank it. And I was like, no, I'm good. And they put, it's just the whole process of where they, like, I remember they put the Jolly Ranchers in there and they was mixing it like it was like Dr. Frankenstein and stuff. Like, but the thing is, like, when you're addicted to that stuff, it's like once you actually get a cold, your body's so used to, you know, that cough syrup, it doesn't do anything to help it. So your immune system, like, pretty much just is letting things get a lot worse. So it's not the lean that kills you. It's actually the whatever invades your body is allowed to manifest a lot longer and stronger. So
right. And people don't realize, like, it really affects your breathing. You know, like, it does so much, like, you know, pain medicines and narcotics is the double-edged sword. So while, you know, like when I had to be on my pain medication, you know, you call me when I've been out my damn mind, like I'm laying down right now. Because it's like, you know, it takes a toll on your body. You really can't think clearly. It's alleviating the pain, like the physical pain, but you can't breathe right. Your chest is compressed. You know, you have chest problems, breathing problems. So, and that's just from taking what's prescribed, which is like 2 teaspoons or a teaspoon. So imagine somebody drinking a whole cup of this. that's definitely going to suppress everything. That's going to make you numb. It's going to make you feel sick, throw up. So I don't ever understand people who abuse it. I remember one of my homegirls, she told me that it got to a point for her it was so bad, she was so addicted to prescription drugs, she was popping up to 20 Vicodins a day.
Whoa.
And this is somebody who's healthy. And I'm like, how the hell are you taking 20 Vicodins a day? Like, when I get prescribed Vicodins, I might take one pill every 2 weeks. It's like I couldn't imagine popping 20 pills in one day, you know, and it's like it just takes so much of a toll on you. And it's like you're wrecking your body when you don't even have to. You're just doing it just to get high, just for the sake of doing it, you know. So it's sad and it's unfortunate because a lot of kids follow Wayne. And, you know, you got a lot of celebrities who brag about doing lean. Like Nicki has a song where she's bragging about it on one of the remixes. She's talking about, you know, you better lean like promethazine. And Fat Joe talks about it. So, I mean, it's nothing new, but it does. It causes a lot of adverse effects. And I know my one doctor, he said that when it started becoming really popular in the Midwest, that it was a lot of kids dying from it. Because, you know, mm-hmm. you get high, you feel real good, you're not realizing how serious it is. And when you drink so much, you won't wake up.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it can cause a seizure. So he's lucky he ended up having a seizure and waking up because he could have just died in his sleep. It's that real. But people don't realize it.
Well, I think he had, like, complications before, like, a few years ago with something similar. So, again, it's like your body's going to tell you quit doing what you're doing, but if you continue to do it, you know. And the sad part is, like, the people who try to wean themselves from it, they crash hard. I mean, it's like it's real difficult for them to get off that stuff, but their body, like, really starts feeding for it.
Yeah,
it really
you get addicted to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's terrible.
And people are asking what exactly is lean. It's two parts to lean. So one part is the liquid syrup is what he's drinking. So the liquid part, the pain medicine part, can either be Loratab, but it has to be liquid. So either liquid Loratab, liquid hydrocodone, liquid Vicodin. Some people use liquid morphine. Nah, I know about all these, right? And then the other part of it is promethazine. The promethazine is the part that's used for nausea. That's the part that knocks you out. Some people drink straight promethazine, and they mix that with, like, the drink because the promethazine will knock you out because it's an anti-nausea medicine to put you to sleep. The other part of the lean is the pain medicine part of it. So what people do is they mix both together, and you're supposed to mix both because, like, for me personally, because my pain medicines give me really bad nausea while I throw up. So in order for me to be able to keep my pain medicines down, I have to take the promethazine. And you're supposed to take like one or two teaspoons of it, and then you take your pain medicine. So you take the promethazine first, and then you take your pain medicine afterwards, so that way you're not sick and throwing up. But what these people do now is they just go out on the street, they buy the drugs from people, and they mix everything in one, like you were just saying, Ron, in one big cup. So they'll take the promethazine, the prescription promethazine, they'll take either the liquid hydrocodone, liquid morphine, liquid Loratab, and they'll mix it in like a huge pitcher or a glass, and then they add Sprite and Jolly Ranchers and Skittles and all that bullshit, and then they drink it like it's liquor. But you get toe up off of that. That's way worse than, you know, taking a shot of Hennessy or something like that. So people just need to be careful. You know, it's just all these names out here that make it sound cute, like, oh, I'm leaning right now and I'm on some lean. But that shit tears you up. And, you know, people out here popping Molly's. You know, Molly's seems like such an innocent name, but it's now hitting the news that there are kids out here getting really messed up from the Molly's. I don't know if anybody has died from them yet, but it's been a lot of reported cases that now it's becoming really popular ever since Trinidad James talked about it. And so the skyrocketing, basically, the drug use and use of Molly's and lean and stuff like that is skyrocketing. But lean ain't nothing new. People been doing lean. I've been hearing about lean since, like, 2000.
Yeah. I've been hearing about lean, like, around that time. That's when I was introduced to it, and I was curious about it, but that ended real quick. And besides, like, it slows everything down, your motor skills, speech, everything. I just don't understand how people stay on that shit. I mean,
right.
I don't get it. I really don't.
Right. If you need it, you need it. You know, that's why I hear people get on a kick like, oh, ban all pharmaceutical drugs. Well, you can't ban all pharmaceutical drugs because there's actually people who need their pain medicines. There's actually people who have chronic illnesses. There's actually people, you know, who don't abuse their medications, who if they get their prescriptions, their shit will last them months. And that's why it's even harder now. To be honest with you, it's so much tougher now to even get prescription drugs. You have to jump through so many hurdles. Like, you have to go to the same pharmacy. Like, I know all my pharmacists at the same pharmacy. You can't get a prescription from one doctor. Like, in Florida, they do doctor shopping. In most states, you can't do that. So let's say your prescriptions get filled at Walgreens. That Walgreens is the only one that they're going to send it to unless your doctor okays for you to start going to a different pharmacy. You know, because people will go to one doctor, and they'll go to this Walgreens, and they'll go to another doctor, then they'll go to Target Pharmacy, and they'll go here, and they'll go to another pharmacy. So not everything's tied to your name in a database. So when you go with that prescription, it is tied to your name. So if I go to another doctor, and I'm like, oh, I need some more, you know, promethazine, I don't feel good, as soon as they run that prescription, they're going to say, well, this bitch just, you know, filled her prescription 3 days ago. And it will kick it out the system. So it's gotten a lot stricter, but people are always going to find ways to abuse stuff. You know, so if it's legitimate, they're not even allowed to push the prescription in before a certain amount of time. You know, kind of, there was one time I was in the hospital for like a month, and I was really sick. And when I got out, they had me on like 80 milligrams of morphine. That's how sick I was. And the morphine was too strong for me. Every time I took it, I would throw up. So my doctor wanted to put me on a lesser dose pain medicine. So when I went to go fill it, they couldn't because I had just gotten morphine not even a few days before. Even though this was a whole different type of pain medicine, the system would not let them enter it in. They said I had to wait 2 whole weeks before I could get a different prescription. So they're definitely tightening up on it, and I think that's a good thing just to stop the abuse of prescription pain medications. But it's just sad that people who are healthy are feeling like it's okay to just turn to these drugs. When I think, and I think the prescription drugs mess you up a lot more than weed, to be honest with you.
They do. And they're a lot stronger, concentrated. And with weed, really, weed is not really a drug. I mean, it's probably one of the things you don't have to add extra to it other than when you do cross-pollinization, you know, to possibly make it stronger. You don't, but other cosmetic stuff, you have to add all kind of extra stuff in there. So a lot of poisons just to make, you know, those drugs. So that was my stance on weed versus everything else. Plus, when have you known anybody to die from weed?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, it's crazy.
Plus, the thing in the chat room is like, I've seen it in the service that there have been people, then they got drunk off Listerine because there's some alcohol content in, you know, mouthwashes. So you got guys who buy a bunch of mouthwash offshore at the store, and they'll just knock that stuff back like it's nothing. I just thought that was weird. I mean, like, your breath stays fresh, but then, like, you're drunk off your ass. I mean, it's just some of the weirdest. I mean, people find some weird ways to get high, like pouring alcohol in your ass. People are just retarded.
Well, that was like the people who were drinking a hand sanitizer. Remember that, like last year?
Yeah.
Kids were drinking hand sanitizer just to get high. And Jamal was saying in the chat room that, you know, you can't even buy Sudafed anymore. Like, now you got to get it behind the counter. They got to check your ID. Even when you go to get cough syrup, just regular Robitussin, you can't just buy that. You have to show your ID like you're buying liquor. It's crazy. Yep. Like, it's because people abuse it so much because it's 10% alcohol in the generic cough medicine. So people get drunk off of that. So it's like, you know, people will find anything to get high off of they can. Somebody else was saying that they had weed in college and somebody laced it with coke and they didn't know. So you got to be careful too, you know, whoever you're smoking with and doing stuff with, because, you know, people will add stuff to your, you know, drinks, to your weed and stuff like that, and it can really mess you up. But sign is saying that you can buy super glue. I haven't heard that. You got to have ID to buy super glue now?
I don't know if it's by ID, but, you know, there's that thing called huffing where people are inhaling things like super glue or certain kind of sprays and all kind of stuff. You know, it's been going on for some long time, but then that stuff, like, really affects your brain after a while. I mean, with all that, you know, those bad chemicals and vapors going in, you know, to, you know, affecting your head and everything else. So there's been quite a few people who died from that mess, but it doesn't really get talked about because it's not really covered like that.
Right. Yeah, but it's sad. You know, folks will get high off of anything, point blank, period. You know, bath salts. And it's crazy because now people are finding legal things to get high off of. So it's not so much, you know, people out here getting cocaine and stuff like that. People are getting high off of incense, stuff that you can buy at the store for 99 cents, but they're not realizing how messed up those chemicals are in that incense. You know, I've seen shows like on YouTube and on TV where kids have gotten so high off of bath salts that they killed themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really sad.
Yeah.
And people talking about people inhaling pixie sticks and Kool-Aid. People snorting pixie sticks. Oh, God.
That's real crackish. I mean, or they'll sniff nail polish remover or just any old thing to get a high. Or, you know, it's like you'd be surprised at what people would do when they're bored, trying to, like, I guess, create a new fad or, you know, chase the next high, see what they can do. So, I mean,
right.
I don't know. Oh, we'll get to that in a second, Viv. We're going to get all that.
As far as Wayne, since I asked us, we done spent 10 minutes talking about little Wayne and him getting high. You know, I don't wish death on nobody. You know, a lot of people making jokes like, oh, I hope he dies and I hope his music dies with him. You know, at the end of the day, he's a father. That's somebody's child, you know, and that would be a horrible death. But, you know, I just hope he gets off the drugs, and I hope he gets himself together. He needs to check himself into rehab. He has a lot of yes men around him who are going to condone anything he wants, anything he does. And unfortunately, when you have a lot of yes men around you, that's when you get yourself into trouble because nobody's looking out for your best well-being. So I wish him well. You know, those pain medicines are no joke, and if he's addicted to it, I feel bad for him because it's very easy to get addicted to that type of stuff, and it's very hard to get, you know, to recover from it. So, you know, I just wish him the best because he's a father about, what, 7 kids?
So far.
So anyways, everybody is talking about the chick that was at Walmart. Rona had sent me the video, and I had posted it on Facebook yesterday. And she was just dancing her ass off. She was twerking by the milk and twerking by the fish and twerking by this and twerking by that. First of all, that was a church dress she had on.
Yeah, it was.
You could tell she had just came from church and decided to start dancing in the aisle. I mean, and you know, like I said, when I watched the video, I was just like, you know, this is some hood rat shit. She just wants attention. You know, Jamal is saying her name is Carmel Kitten. Some people are saying that she was just trying to be funny. I don't believe that because this is her fourth video. You know, she was twerking
by
the beer.
Twerking
by the tits. Twerking by the bread. Twerking by the hostess. Oh, no, hostess went out of business. Anyway, it's like she was just twerking by everything, making her booty clap. She was just doing the most. And it was just so funny because I'm just like, you know, people would do anything for their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. She has a chronicle of everything she's twerking on. She's twerking in a library. She's twerking at the mall, at a shoe store. She's going in just whatever she can go. She'll clap her cheeks and sing a little song to her. Twerker's going wild, but it's just her. I think it's funny, not just with her because, like, her singing her little song, but a lot of negative feedback was coming out. Like, there's – honestly, I would like to hear the guys we would like to hear the guys and the women call in and speak on this because this is fucking hilarious. It's like putting it on the thread on Facebook, I've had some women get mad, say this is what men want and all that stuff, but no one's holding her hit. I mean, her holding by gunpoint to do all this. None.
Right.
You know, she.
Well, you know, I never understood, like we were talking about earlier, I never understood why women get so mad at the twerk videos. My thing is this. I feel like, you know, that lady looks old as hell.
Yeah, that's somebody.
She looks young or fresh. She looks like she's in her late 30s, early 40s. That's somebody's mama. You know,
that's
she obviously wants attention. But now you have her old ass in Walmart twerking on every damn thing. But then in the same breath, people would sit there and knock the twerk team. Them little young girls were like 19, 20, and 21. I don't have a problem with twerk videos of people over the age of 18. I don't want to see 12-year-olds twerking. I just don't like that. But, you know, if you're over the age of 18 and you want to sit in your room and just make twerk videos all day, that's on you. But it does seem that you're kind of desperate for attention and you need the validation of men and other people, in my personal opinion. But as far as, like, people be sending me messages like, you need to go in on her. You need to cuss her. Why would I cuss her out? She's not molesting nobody's baby. She's not taking nothing out of my mouth. I'm not about to, you know, she wants to dance in the middle of the aisle and shake her ass and make her ass clap. That's on her. She doesn't, you know, reflect on me. I don't reflect on her. You know, so I think sometimes women get really upset or up in arms about these videos, and it don't make no sense to waste your energy on something like that. Because obviously she wants attention. I'm not going to go on there and be bashing her and cussing her out. It's not that serious to me. She could be out here doing a lot worse. You know, obviously she's thirsty and she wants attention, you know, end of story. But
yeah.
You were saying that some of the women get mad because they're jealous.
They mad. I put on a few Facebook status updates, and I was talking about, like, me being an occasional, you know, twerk enthusiast. You know, I mean, I noticed that there's some women who could turn into art form, and there's some women who should never start, ever. And they didn't like the fact that, like, some women start doing it, it looks like a half-empty sea bag full of rocks falling down some stairs. And, I call some what they put out there in their little videos, I call it visual terrorism, which, you know, some guys ain't going to think is cool. But, again, like, there's some women who can do it. I mean, they choose to do it. You know, and it is what it is, but I think it's a lot of angry women out there who are jealous from that attention, because some are going to try it, they're not going to get the favorable response. So, you know, do what you do, twerking by the fishbowl and, you know, twerking the subway and, you know, on the bus stop.
Right. And Bonafide Loveland is saying, as long as men keep giving attention to these women twerking, the videos will keep coming. And then other people are talking about Miley Cyrus, and I had posted that on my fan page. And Miley Cyrus got down. Y'all didn't know Miley could dance like that.
Miley
did her thing. Her twerk video was cute. She has some skills to her. Her twerk video was really, really cute. You know, so like I said, I mean, it is what it is. Twerking is not going anywhere. You know, people have put so much stock into their ass. You know, they just feel they need to show it off to everybody. But, you know, y'all know I've danced on camera. I've done the Dougie and stuff like that. I dance. I don't twerk, though. That's not really my thing. Like, if I'm in a club, you know, I'll dance, I'll get down. But I don't know if I would just get on camera and just start, you know, twerking and doing all that extra stuff. That's just not me. But, you know, to each his own. Not only don't twerk. But I do dance, though. I like to dance. I like the grind. I like the dirty wine. I dance. I can dance my ass off, but I really don't twerk like that. That's not really my thing. I mean, I guess I could do it if I really tried, but will I post it on YouTube? No. I'm only talking about I think she does. There's nothing wrong with twerking in the bedroom and doing, you know, some little cute, sexy dances. Don't get me wrong. In your heels, but I'm just not going to get in my Sunday best and walk down to Walmart in some heels and then start twerking by the fish. We're not going to get there. Well, G. Stewart said, what do you think about the Harlem Shake? Do you know how to do it? I could kind of do the old one. This new version, I'm not feeling it. That is not Harlem.
No.
The new version, I understand it's goofy, and it's a bunch of little goofy white kids, and they're trying to be funny, and that's cool. You know, I'm all for a good laugh. Some people in Harlem are taking it really serious. They're saying it's a disrespect to Harlem. It's a disrespect to the Harlem Shake, you know, and I just think a lot of people just capitalizing on it. I just hate the fact that they call it the Harlem Shake. I think they could have found it a different name. Come on, when I first heard about it, I was so confused. I'm like, damn, is it 2001? Why is everybody talking about the Harlem Shake? Is G-Dep out of jail? I was confused as hell. And when I clicked on the video, I'm like, really? This is not the Harlem Shake.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I mean, it's what they do. I mean, they do that goofy stuff. But art is art. I've seen the Harlem Shake. I remember it being around for some time. I learned about it, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, and, you know, I sit there, I see the Harlem Shake, what people do is a parody. You see the Miami Heat do it. I thought it was goofy, but I didn't take nothing serious about it. But I can understand
what,
you know, Harlem is feeling about that, because I feel like, okay, you guys are, you know, rubbing a name in the dirt. But, you know, real recognizes real. So, you know, if you really, you do the shake, then do your damn thing. But, you know, the other stuff. You know,
oh, Lord. College Girl 1992 got me feeling old. She said, I used to kill the Harlem Shake in second grade. Girl,
wow.
What are you? What was I doing when I danced in second grade? The Cabbage Patch? The Snake?
Doing the prep?
She said the Harlem Shake. Lord, I was in high school when that came out. Ooh,
wow.
I feel old. Yeah, we were going with the Cabbage Patch and the WAP.
Oh, shit. I'm not going to say that.
Oh, man. That's how you can tell we had such a diverse group. Look, Emily said, shut up, I was in college when the Harlem Shake came out. They thought that he was doing the Tootsie Roll. Now, the Tootsie Roll, that was sixth grade. I remember that. Butterfly, uh-oh, let's go. Let me see that Tootsie Roll. Oh, Tootsie. That was a song. Oh, my gosh, I remember that. The Tootsie Roll, the Butterfly, that was junior high. The Percolator, I remember that. The Typewriter. Was that the MC Hammer Dance?
Yep.
Oh, she got us from her. Oh, G. Stewart said the Moonwalk. I remember the Kid and Play. Me and my cousin used to do that all the time. Oh, that is too funny. She said the Harlem Shake when she was in second grade. Ooh wee. That was too cute. Yeah, we used to have fun. We used to have some real dances back then. But, you know, it's like nowadays, you know, everything is just about just twerking and shaking your ass. There's, like, really no real dances. Everything is just, you know, shake your ass.
Well, T, I don't have the clip, and thankfully I don't. But there was a girl who was real tragic at it. Like, she was, like, she had no ass at all. And she was trying to twerk, and it wasn't even tweaking or tweeting. It was just terrible. And it was all tailbone. It was 8 minutes of struggle.
Give her an extra effort.
No, it's incomplete because nothing was happening there. Nothing.
That is too funny. Oh, yeah, we got some shorties in the chat room. She's like, I'm 20. Yeah, that's cute.
I have to think,
like second grade.
Well, hey, T, I think I told you this story before the show came by, but about the former Titans cheerleader arrested for inappropriately touching a boy.
Go ahead and tell the audience.
Well,
that made me mad.
Okay, this 42-year-old Nashville woman was taken into custody in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, when she used to be a Tennessee Titans cheerleader. And she left the game in, like, 2008. She followed a 12-year-old boy into the restroom and asked him, has he ever been with a woman? And then she even mentioned, like, you know, basically tried to tell him, you know, she was going to give him head. And it scared the shit out of him. He ran and told his mom. And mom called the police, and here is this story that Chris Hansen didn't manage to cover. Here it is. And she's out on bond when she paid $30,000, I think, and she's back at home. She didn't want to talk to the press, you know, because her and her husband needed some privacy or respect or privacy or something like that.
Now, yeah. I just pulled up the story. So they're saying that she's accused of sexually assaulting a 12-year-old boy. And now they're saying that she told the police that she was drunk that evening and she got the boy confused with the man that she thought was her husband. How the hell do you mix your grown-ass husband with a 12-year-old boy? My son is 12. Ain't no way you're going to confuse your 12-year-old with your grown man. Like, come on. Like, that's just an excuse. Imagine a grown man having raped and molested a 12-year-old girl and saying, well, I thought that was my wife.
He had been crucified.
Right, but you know, there's a dude who used that excuse. His daughter's friend had spent the night, right? She was like 15 or something like that. He went downstairs to creep with her. And the only reason why they found out is the girl ended up pregnant. So when the girl ended up pregnant, they did a DNA test because she was trying to pin it on some young boy. And it ended up not being his child. So finally when the baby came out that it wasn't his child, she admitted that she had slept with her best friend's father. And he kept denying it. Then when they did the DNA test, it came back that he was the father. And then he remembered that, oh, yeah, he was drunk one night. That was his wife. You know, people are sick. People are straight up sick.
And let this be
said.
She
was like trailer trash.
Well, I want to say, let this be said so people can't use this damn thing as an excuse. Alcohol is true serum. Everything you thought about doing or wanted to do, that's when you're low. When your inhibitions are lowered, that's when you start thinking and doing that shit. So blaming it on alcohol, you basically told on yourself because you allowed yourself to get smashed. There it is.
Right. I mean, it's just a mess. It's like, you know, it's harder and harder for people to keep their kids safe in this world, you know, with so many people out here, you know, trying to do things to them, and just, it's insane. I don't see why anybody would think it was okay to approach a 12-year-old and ask him, have you ever been with a woman? Hell no, he's 12.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not an appropriate question to ask a kid, and then how are you going to offer yourself up to the kid? Now, like I said, they need to throw the book at her. I get tired of whenever it's a woman, they come up with the excuse that she was depressed, she wasn't feeling loved, her husband, you know, didn't find her attractive, so she turned to this young child. But when it's a man, there's no excuse. Throw the book at him, lock him up. The same should be done for women. She's a sexual deviant, point blank.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
a cheerleader. Cheerleaders are the most popular people in school. She shouldn't have no problem getting a man.
However, it's all about power. It's all about control.
Right.
Where, you know, hey, I made this young man feel like a man. It's an ego thing. But again, like you're right about that. When it comes to, you know, a woman doing that, it gets romanticized and said, well, she was in love and it was a, you know, a illicit affair, and they try to make it all cute and everything like that. But you basically threw yourself on the boy. I mean, we done heard stories about teachers getting trains ran on them by the football team. Five dudes, she buys the alcohol, takes them to the house, and they're taking turns running through her. And they get off on easy, on bail easier. You know, she got off on $30,000 bond. Let's say if a dude did the same thing, he'd still be in there getting raped.
Right.
Possibly. So, I find it real disgusting. Now, again, we're talking about the so-called age of equality, but when it comes down to it, it's never applied as it's supposed to be.
What? It's not. Now, have y'all heard about the new Elmo sex case? You know Elmo's being sued now.
Elmo got
cake. Elmo. I can't ever look at Elmo the same. It's just sad. Poor Elmo. Kevin Clash, the man who was the voice of Elmo, he's being sued now by Shelvin Stevens. Shelvin says when he was 16, he met Clash during a social networking function for actors. Soon after, they began a sexual relationship that escalated over a period of years. Stevens claims that he was taken to Clash's New York apartment by a chauffeured limo. While there, he says that Clash smoked crystal meth during the sexual escapade. This is insane. Elmo does mess. Where did they do this at? I mean, it's insane. So basically, he's suing him, I want to say for a few million dollars for distress and everything else. You know, it's really, really sad that, you know, that anybody would take advantage of a child. Like I said, I don't think people are so much worried about him being gay. Nobody cares. But it's the point. You are a 40-something-year-old man. Why are you messing with boys that young? 16, 17, 18. You know, that's when you get yourself in a whole heap of trouble.
Eddie
and
Long.
It seems like, it's almost like he did the Eddie Long thing, where as soon as the boys got too old and he wasn't attracted to them, he moved on to the next young person. Because it seems like he only keeps these boys around until they're about 18, 19. Then he moves on and finds somebody younger.
How you doing?
How about, he said Kevin Clash was also the voice of Splinter on the Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh,
I didn't know
God.
That.
I didn't know that.
I can't ever look at Splinter the same evil.
Oh,
let me find out Splinter was lost in the Ninja Turtles.
Come here, boys. I must show you a new lesson.
You're stupid. But I did not know that he was a voice to Splinter. That's crazy. But yes, yeah, so now he's being sued. It's just the whole thing is going to be a mess. And I think if Sheldon ends up winning, there's going to be a lot more people coming out the woodwork to sue him as well. I don't think he's going to just get off scot-free, but he basically just ruined his reputation, all the stuff he's worked hard for. He's basically ruined the show. I know Sesame Street still comes on, but I don't know.
Mm.
I just can't look at him the same anymore.
This is weird. Sesame Street has been tainted. I had my questions about Sesame Street for a long time, but now, like, Elmo's really out there. He got warrants. He out there molesting people. Elmo, what the fuck are you doing, dude? What the fuck is Elmo doing?
It's instead of sad. It's crazy the stuff that's going on here. So now, everybody has been talking about the whole Stupidville. I call it Stupidville. Stupidville. The Ohio rape case that happened. I had did a video about it the other day. And this whole thing is just kind of crazy, how everything came to play. I remember when I first saw the pictures hit the internet, because I think it was initially posted. I know it was on the blogs. I know it was on World Star. But I remember when I first saw the internet, the pictures on the internet of them holding the girl by her arms and her legs. And I'm like, these boys are going to get into trouble. You know, that, like, that don't even look right. And it's just so many different disturbing angles to this case. It's a lot of really disturbing angles to this case.
Yeah.
First, let me start by saying this. And I know some people kind of took offense because I questioned the girl drinking. I'm just the type of person, I'm a very objective person. I look at all sides, point blank.
Yeah.
I was in no way, shape, or form blaming the girl. But I was looking at all sides of the situation. Because as many of you guys know, I've been through the same similar situation as well. So the thing that bothered me is the fact that this 16-year-old girl was drinking as much as she was drinking. And not just her, but all the kids there. So, one, that leads me to ask, where did these kids get this liquor from? None of these kids are old enough to go into a liquor store and purchase their own liquor. So an adult had to have been purchasing the liquor for these kids.
Yeah.
Second, where were her homegirls? Now, let's keep it real in the chat room, ladies. We've all been out with friends who get shit-faced. I've been stuck in certain situations because of drunk-ass homegirls who can't handle their liquor, right? So one time I was out with my girl, she was just drunk. I mean, literally to the point where everybody had to carry her. She was just falling, you know, just drunk out her damn mind. And sometimes when people get that drunk, I can't fool with them no more. So I'm trying to see, is this a situation where this girl has gotten drunk several times before? And her friend said, you know what, she just keeps on doing this. I'm out. I'm tired of, you know, carrying her around, tired of dealing with her. She doesn't know how to handle her liquor. And they left her. Because when they interviewed her friends, they said that they were there with her. And when they tried to get her to leave with them, she refused to leave with her friends. She wanted to stay with the guys. So with that being said, you know, I'm like, okay, is this something she's used to doing? Does she drink a lot? Do her parents know that she drinks? That's how I'm looking at it. Is she drinking because she's covering up something? Is she going through other things? Is she depressed? Is there a lot of things going on? So that's how I was looking at this situation, because kids normally don't just drink like that just to drink. You know, yeah, kids do it just to party, but not to get that damn wasted. But then what I started hearing also is that they may have slipped something into her drink because she didn't remember too much. But other people are saying that she drunk so much that that's why she couldn't remember. But regardless of the situation, that does not negate what happened to this young girl. But I think that this situation and everything that ensued needs to be a wake-up call to not only young girls, but young guys. We have too many kids out here. As soon as they do some shit, they want to post it on the internet. It's almost like social media is such a double-edged sword. It's just, part of me, I'm glad that they posted it because they were able to get caught. But part of me is like, it's so sad when you'd be willing to post something like that, knowing that you took advantage of this girl and you raped her. And you had no shame. And then a while after the pictures came out, Anonymous ended up hacking some of the cell phone footage. And this other boy, he was not charged in the case, but they were bragging about her being raped and how she was like a dead corpse and all this other stuff. And just to listen to that boy rant and talk for 12 minutes was just disgusting. I literally wanted to reach through my MacBook and punch him in the face. You know, because he was just talking like it was just fun, like it was just no big deal. You know, and the whole situation is just very, very disheartening, and it just goes to show you how much a lot of these schools, these communities, they push so much stock in these football players and these basketball players and these jocks. Like I said on Facebook, had these been some socially awkward nerds or some, you know, outcasts, they'd have thrown the book at them. There's no way in hell if these were some socially awkward dudes that they would have got a year or 2 years. They would have thrown the book at them. You know, I think for them to get a year and 2 years was a slap on the wrist. They were extremely lucky. To me, a juvenile crime is shoplifting. A juvenile crime is vandalism. A juvenile crime is graffiti. Raping somebody, possibly slipping something in their drink, is not a juvenile crime. There are also reports saying that she wasn't fully raped, like she wasn't, you know, they didn't penetrate her with their penis. They digitally raped her.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wasn't fully rate. Like, I didn't know that there was...
Don't really break it down to you real quick because we're going to get on this next. I just want to break this down real quick. So they're saying, right, that the black boy digitally raped her. And I was like, what the hell is digitally raping somebody? It's where you finger somebody. You're using your digits, you know, your fingers. So they're saying that when she was passed out in the back seat, the black boy fingered her. And then when she was on the couch at one of the houses, the white boy fingered her. But then they later on found text messages where he admitted to having sex with her. So what a lot of young boys need to realize, okay, because a lot of people don't think that it's a big deal. You cannot finger somebody without their consent. It is still considered rape. You can't put objects in people. You can't stick pencils in them, rods, whatever the hell. You cannot violate somebody, point blank, period. See, a lot of people need to learn to keep their damn hands to themselves. Had she gotten drunk and wanted to pass out and act a fool, that would have been on her. But when they decided to take it there and touch her and finger her and all that other stuff, that's when they caught that case. So I think a lot of young boys don't realize this, and I think this is a discussion, excuse me, that needs to be talked about because a lot of people think that just penetration is rape, and it's not. Bill Nerd is even saying even masturbating is rape because one of the boys supposedly jerked himself off and nutted on her. So, I also heard they peed on this girl. I mean, they just treated this girl like she was less than human. You know, the whole case just disturbs me. But go ahead, Ronan, and talk about the whole digital rape thing.
I'm just a little bit confused about the answer, because me personally, I say any type of insertion or anything like that, rape is rape. I mean, I don't care what degree right. You want to put it in, no technicalities on it. It is what it is. Like, I know I've been in a situation where people have been drunk. You know, you had a chick get drunk and she's like, you know, come on, let's do this. I'm not doing that because, again, situations like
right. This
is what turns me the hell off. Like, nah, I'm good. If you're not sober, I'm not fucking with you. I can understand tipsy with you having your somewhat of your bearings there, but no. When you're full-blown drunk, passed out and all that mess, I'm good. You're going to sleep that shit off. I'm not going to touch you. But
right. This
right here, some don't have a problem with it. You know, just figure, well, I got mine. She ain't going to know no better.
It's just too much. I mean, I'm going to just tell the young boys now, if a girl is confused, if she doesn't want to, excuse me, if you're trying to ask her for sex, and, you know, one minute she's like, yeah, the next minute she's like, well, no, I don't even bother with it. If it's not a clear, concise yes where she wants to, you know, and it's verbal, some people are even recording themselves. Like, okay, voice, I want you to, you know, I'm recording myself on the phone. She's consenting. She's saying yes, so that way the person can't come back and yell rape. But, boys, I mean, you guys have to be careful. Don't get yourself in certain situations. And I think this situation went on because when these were all kids. Let's remember, these are all teenagers. And when people get around their peers, they do stupid shit. I think if it had just been one of the boys and her, and it wasn't like where this whole group and this whole entourage of people were there to egg it on, I don't think it would have went as far as it did. You know, should her friends have left her? No. You never leave your homegirl. I don't care how irritating she gets. I just can't do that. You know, because I know a situation that happened when I was like 14 or 15 with one of my friends. She was dating this girl's brother, and he was a real, real cool dude, and the girl, she kind of had her issues, whatever, and they were like 15 at the time, and one of the girls was 16, they had just gotten their license, and they were drinking, they were in the car and stuff like that, and they got into an argument. They all got into this, stupid arguments that 15-year-olds have. Well, the girl ended up jumping out the car and ran in the woods. And they didn't go after her. Do y'all know that girl froze to death? And I will never forget when they ended up finding her, and, you know, it broke their family apart. Like, it just, you know, because my girl was dating her brother at the time, and it's like we didn't even really hear from him after that. Their family just kind of moved. They were, like, just devastated. And there's always that what if one of her friends would have just ran after her? Or said, you know what, okay, fine, we're arguing, we just get back in the car. You know, so you just see, I think she was kind of drunk and she got disoriented, and the fact that everybody left her, she just, they found her sitting by a tree and she basically froze to death. You know, so you never leave your friends regardless of the situation, regardless if they're acting stupid. You just always have the choice to not hang with them the next time. And that's how I am. I feel like if people can't handle their liquor, I'm going to look out for you because that's the type of friend I am. I'm not going to let nobody mess with you. But it is very frustrating to deal with a drunk friend. You know, there have been times when I've been down at the damn compound in Atlanta with my girl, and she done got damn twisted. And it's like I'm literally having to pull her out of cars. Like, come on, like, get out this dude's car. You don't know him. And then they start cussing me out because I'm the cock blocker. Oh, bitch, you just hating. She want to come back with us. My girl's not going back with you. She don't know you from a can of paint. She's drunk. Don't listen to nothing she say. Get out their car. You know, but then it's like I got these dudes trying to fight me, you know, but that's the type of friend I am. I'm not going to let nobody just take advantage of my girl who's drunk. But if it's to a point where it's a situation where I got to sit here and be ready to fight guys or get beat up because you don't know how to handle your liquor, then I can't hang with you. So people like that, I don't deal with. If you can't handle your drink, we don't need to go out. So I think her friends, even though she wanted to go out with the boys, they should have just grabbed her and said, no, you're not, and made her come home with them. You know, but again, we have to be responsible. We have to talk to our kids and let them know everybody does not have your best interest at heart. Everybody is not going to care for you the same way. You know, you can't just send your kids out into the world and think that, oh, because your child is a girl, because your child is an honor student, everybody's supposed to have respect for her. Nobody will ever, you know, do anything bad to her. That's not how life works. And when somebody is drunk and impaired, you can't trust nobody but yourself. I'm not saying that kids ain't going to be out here wilding out. I'm not saying that kids are not going to drink. We all did our dirt. We all done did some shit. I done been a teenager. We've all been teenagers. I would never judge her and say that she shouldn't have drank. Kids drink, but we need to have honest discussion with our kids. Don't assume just because your child's going to a party, she's not going to drink, or she's not going to smoke no weed, or she's not going to have sex. I think parents need to be more honest. Don't assume just because your son's going to a party, he's not going to drink, or he's not going to get influenced to do some shiesty shit.
Yeah.
It's like we're so scared to talk to our kids about sex and about alcohol and about the dangers, we just tell kids, don't do it. But you're not telling them, I know you might do it, but you need to realize if that girl doesn't say yes, you need to leave her alone. You need to realize that you can't stick your fingers in her thinking it's okay, that's digital rape. We need to have open, honest conversations with these kids. I don't think these kids realize that.
No.
You know, it's easy for us, you know, at our age to say, yeah, you fingering somebody, that's rape. She ain't give you consent. But when you're 16 and you drunk, are you really thinking like that? Did anybody have those conversations with those boys? No. And her reputation is ruined. She's all over the internet. People are threatening to kill her. You know, so this whole situation is just, it's horrible. You know, all these lives were affected, and I feel bad for her. But like I said, we need to have open dialogue with our kids and quit brushing shit under the rug and quit trying to turn a blind eye and quit acting like you know, making excuses.
Well, this is why I said alcohol is true serum, but not just for the individual who drinks it, but the individuals that person surround themselves with. You know, do they have your back? Do they have your best interest, or are they just on something else? Or were they waiting for you to get in a position where you're vulnerable and be where you in a bad situation? So we do need that serious, unedited, genuine dialogue about the pending dangers out there. In the world, you know, no one really talks about, you know, the dangers of, like, drinking with something and wondering about your friends or whatever, or seeing, you know, how really true your friends are. Because for someone to, like, leave their friend out there to get frozen out there in the wilderness, or allow them to get raped or whatever, you know, that says a whole lot. I mean, the situation I talked about, like, when I got burnt, you could pretty much closely put it in this context because there was alcohol involved. So, but again, it's kind of weird to say it, but in some ways I got off lucky. Because it could have been something else. You know?
Right.
That's why, I mean, it's just people that can't be careless. I mean, like, people want to get high and drunk and escape from things, but really you're running full steam into some bullshit that you're not even looking at until it's too late. So, again, that's what parents, family, friends are supposed to talk about. Like, look, you know, like when you were about to get in a fight with guys, you know, because they had other intentions, they didn't have her best interest in mind, you know, that shows what kind of person you are. Now, if this person continues to get drunk and doing stupid shit, well, can't fuck with it. You can't deal. You can't sacrifice your life all the time with someone who needs help saving themselves from themselves. That's just a pointless endeavor. It's just pointless.
Yep, that's the truth. You know, and even her friends testified against her. And, you know, it's crazy. And Bernard is saying, sorry, T, you're a great friend. I've been in those situations where I made the person go with me, and they would call me a hater and a cock blocker, so now I don't mess with people like that. Yeah, and, you know, and it happens a lot, you know, but you have to look out for your friends or whoever you came out with. You know, that's just, you just got to do that. But it's the most frustrating thing to deal with a drunk person, especially a drunk adult. Like I said, when kids are drunk, it's just like, damn, they're young. They're just, you know, they're experimenting. They're being stupid. You got damn 40-year-olds who can't handle their liquor. Ain't nothing worse. Peeing outside and shit. Girl, get your ass up. Just doing too much. I hate drunk old people.
It doesn't matter about their age. It doesn't matter about their age. They could be young, old. I told you, I seen some chick taking a shit near a car on the club. Or see do some, like, getting a train ran on them because they were drinking. Or doing some all kind of ignorant ass shit, you know, it just because, you know, because liquor loosens you up or exposes the real you out there. Even with a girlfriend or relationship that you have, whenever she's drunk, I lay her ass down like, nah, you're going to be a dead fish, and two, that's just not how I get down. So, again, it just shows you a whole lot. I mean, what's going on? That person is like can't handle their liquor. Either I don't hang with them, or I make sure they're safe and leave them the fuck alone, or I watch over them like, if you can't watch yourself, I'm going to watch you this time, but then, like, then I'm going to cut my ties.
Right.
So, I mean,
right.
Or, yeah,
because
you see
that. She would
have
ended up dead.
Yeah.
It would have been crazy.
Yeah, and you've seen that thing where, you know, you see some women giving head on a train, or nowadays, you can get, a dude can get raped by other dudes. So you don't know what anybody is on nowadays. So it don't even have to be liquor. It could be all these glorified drugs
Molly.
Out here. Mop and Molly's, X, you know, bath salts and everything like that. It really shows you who you're dealing with, because some people like make you, I mean, it's all about for the sacrifice of trying to be accepted and be, you know, in the in crowd. But at what price are you willing to pay to get in there?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's a lot of excuses being made, you know, for these young boys, and, you know, the whole situation is a damn shame, you know, and just for the fact, like I said, just the blatantness of taking pictures and posting on the internet and then bragging, you know, just shows you where this mentality, this next generation is going, and it's scary. You know, there was a point in time when people did shit, they were ashamed. They didn't want anybody to find out, now there's no shame. They have no problem posting on the internet, and, you know, they took her to four different parties, and everybody was calling her the drunk girl. Everybody saw her. You know, they took off her clothes. They took pictures of her, and, you know, it's just, it's sad, you know, that she's going to have to live with that the rest of her life, you know. But, again, we have to have conversations, you know, with our kids. You can't just assume that your child is not out here drinking. And I don't think that it was her first time getting drunk. I don't, because I know how a lot of parties were when I was a teenager. You know, kids was getting towed up, you know, house parties, parents would be there, wouldn't care. You know, you always had the one friend who had the cool mom and the cool dad, you know, or the dad would try and talk to you, like my one homeboy's dad, he stayed in my face. Grown-ass man. You know, when you think about it, at the time, it's like, damn, I was a shorty, and this man was in his 40s. And then now when I be out and I be seeing him, I'm like, oh, he's such a pervert, you know? So it's crazy. It is. So it's like you got to know where your kids are at. And I know, I understand you can't keep tabs on your kids 24/7. I'm not saying that. But, you know, you have to have some type of rough idea. And you have to be able to, you know, talk to your kids. Because kids are going to do stuff. I would never think that, oh, you know, children are just innocent. They're never going to experiment and, you know, things like that. But you need to warn your kids of the dangers. I think if people are honest with their children and say this is what can happen when you, you know, pop an E-pill, when you're out here popping Molly's, you can get gang raped. You can get sodomized. You can, you know, you can die. Things can happen to you. I think when you instill those type of values, that makes that child think twice. They may still drink, but they're not going to get shit-faced. They might take a few sips, but they're not going to get drunk where they don't know anything.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to have, you know, honest dialogue with people. You know, that whole situation is just, it's crazy. Bill and I were talking about the woman who threw the party at the strip club for her son. And Yeah, that was a trip. You know, like I said, the mom getting her son male strippers, when I made that video, I wasn't excusing her behavior. You know, personally, that's not something I would do. But what I was saying is I understood her mentality because I know so many parents like that. I went to high school who were friends whose parents were like that. You know what I'm saying? I knew people that I went to school with. They sold weed. Their mama sold weed with them. They ran, did shit, did dirt. Their mama was right there with them. Their mama got them a fake ID to start stripping at the club. So, you know, it's like some parents are just stupid as hell. They're not any more mature than the children. So I wasn't shocked by her trying to be cool. And when you think about it, she had her son at 16. So that right there tells you her mentality. She's trying to be her son's best friend. What did you think about the whole situation?
It's not setting a good example. I mean, I remember being told, like, look, you know, for your birthday, we're going to take you to the strip club, or, you know, or they'll take them to a prostitute or something like that.
But they're trying to do it.
I mean, it just sets a bad precedent for the kid.
Right.
You know, because sometimes they're not ready for that shit. And, again, that could lead to some, a mindset that they're really not ready for, that what they're not supposed to have. So when it comes to situations like that, let a kid be a kid. They got enough shit to deal with all the transition they're going through, especially in adulthood. So why are you going to complicate it with that? I mean, I just think it's a little extra, personally, but, you know, fuck it. Yeah, man, that's how I feel about it.
And they're saying, 1 in 5 11 is saying that if it was a 16-year-old girl, male stripper swinging their ding-a-lings in her face, it'd be different. And that is very true. I definitely agree. People will excuse it more because it's boys. Like I said, I'm not excusing her behavior. I just understand it. You know, she was trying to be the cool mom. She had them at a young age, and she thought it was appropriate. You know, and like you said, why should we be putting, you know, these kids have the rest of their lives to have sex. Why throw right in their face? It's not that serious. But you have a lot of these parents out here, they just want to be their kids' friends. They're not mature.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, when you have a child young, you know, myself included, it can be very hard sometimes to separate that. You know what I'm saying? Because you're still trying to find yourself. You're still trying to figure out, you know, your life and get things together. And, you know, it's not easy at all. And then you're sitting there having to raise this person that's, you know, 15, 16 years younger than you. Like, look a little way and look at Reginae, his daughter. He had her at 15. Toya had her at 14. And now Reginae is 14. So, you know, it's just, and you see Toya's out here, she's remarried, but she's trying to do her. Lil Wayne is out here doing him. So it is harder when you're a younger parent. So how do you resolve that? Have your kids at an older age. You know, hold back on having kids. Don't have kids as teenagers because it's not easy. And if you're going to have a kid at a younger age, you better damn well raise that kid. You know, sometimes I have to get on my son about that because it's like, yo, you're not my homeboy. I'm your mom at the end of the day. You know, we can be cool. We can chop it up about certain stuff, but I'm still your parent. And I think that's where people need to all reiterate to their children. Let them know, like, you know, I don't owe you anything. I put my son that the other day. Only thing I owe you is food and basic clothing. I don't owe you no Jordans. I don't owe you no classes. I don't owe you a cell phone. I don't owe you a damn thing. I need to make sure that you're fed and that you're taken care of. You know, some of these kids are spoiled, and they think you own something. And that's why a lot of these parents are throwing these parties and stuff like that. I have summer parties here. I get the kids pizza and pop. They watch movies. They have a good time. I'll be damned when my son turns 16. I'm going to have a bunch of knuckleheads running out of my house, drunk, having girls here, and then I go to jail behind it. Uh-uh. Not in this household. This is my 7-Up. You know I'm still sick. I'm still drinking my 7-Up. They drink my orange juice. See how kids do? Buy yourself orange juice to get better, and they drink it up.
Damn. Now you left a swallow in there?
Nothing.
Damn.
I bought a big old thing of vitamin C filled orange juice. Nothing. I'm forced to drink 7-Up. Thank you, children. We got Rachel Axis and G Stewart scared to have children. Rachel don't want to have no kids. G Stewart don't want no kids.
T, speaking of drinking and silly stuff, Can you please go over the nonsense that happened at Chuck E. Cheese again?
At Chuck E. Cheese. Let me ask y'all a question in the chat room. Dear black people, why do we always show out at Chuck E. Cheese?
Or McDonald's. Or Walmart.
Maybe Chuck E. Cheese. When you look up Chuck E. Cheese fight videos. Everybody's black. Chuck E. fight videos, black people. Now, white folks fight at, you know, McDonald's too, but Chuck E. Cheese, these are black folks. But you know what, that news story was such a trip. Because I'm like, hold up. So everybody at Chuck E. Cheese, first of all, it's like Chuck E. Cheese is like the funnest place in the world to me. Like when I go there, you know what I'm saying, my old ass is a kid. I'll be in there fighting kids with tokens. Pushing out the way, taking their tickets. I have a ball. The ski ball machine, that's my machine. Y'all leave me alone when I'm playing ski ball. I'll be trying to get my points, okay? I don't understand what the drama is. So all these people at Chuck E. Cheese having a good time. It's a little boy birthday. And it turns into an 18-man brawl. First and foremost, why were there so many adults at this party?
Not sure.
Because when I saw parties at Chuck E. Cheese, it's like, okay, it's me, my kids, and maybe four adults. So it's like usually four adults and a bunch of kids. Really, why did your baby mama put on that Ciroc in y'all's baby bag?
Look, my grandma ain't got this shit. She ain't do that shit.
I know your baby mama.
Hey, you need to tell your auntie to stop twerking at Walmart.
What was the new lady like? And they had Ciroc and weed, and there's two bottles of Ciroc in the baby bottle. And then we went to the crotch and there was another bottle of Ciroc.
But the thing was, it wasn't even just that. The fight spilled over from Chuck E. Cheese to down the street where someone got shot.
Right. I said, this got to be the most ratchet story I've ever heard. So y'all still fighting. They done put all y'all out of Chuck E. Cheese and y'all move down the street, keep fighting, and somebody pulls out a gun.
Yeah.
And Ciroc ain't cheap. Ciroc is like $50 a bottle.
Yeah.
And the news lady said there was a few bottles of Ciroc. So y'all can spend hundreds on liquor, weed, Xanax, E-pills, and then everybody ran out on the bill.
And they got charged
tab.
And I think they got charged for having drugs like 500,000 meters or yards from a school. So.
Oh, so they're all with the school zone.
Yeah.
They're salty.
And of course,
it happened in Florida.
Of course.
What else? You know something like that would never happen in Minnesota.
Too cold.
Ciroc is 20 where you find. I thought Ciroc was like $50.
Depends on where you are.
I guess it's my birthday. It depends on where we're. I guess Minnesota's just, you know, they're trying to be bougie and shit. It's about $50 up here, I think. I believe so. Jamal said it's 20 where he's from.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Bottom shelf.
Right, because I'm like, Ciroc is usually $50. Jamal don't buy Ciroc. He buys Ciroc. Ciroc for $20. Yeah, I don't know what that fight was about. I think that whole situation is sad. And then somebody else was bringing up the Halloween party at Denny's when they were all in their costumes, throwing chairs and plates. Now, that happened in Cali. That would have happened at in Cali, in the Bay. That happened in the Bay. But, yeah, it's crazy, you know. It's like people don't have respect for other people's property anymore. You know, it's just sad that the mom will put herself out there like that, you know, especially with the kids and everything else. I'm like, so everybody's putting Ciroc in them Chuck E. Cheese cups, sipping with straws and shit.
And the baby bags.
Yeah, there's no diapers in this baby bag. There's nothing but Ciroc.
There's really nothing good you can say about this. Nothing really good. It's just outright embarrassing because it makes the lady twerking at Walmart, you know, I guess the highlight of black news for some reason. Because this shit right here, I don't know.
And it was sad, but the news lady was funny.
I mean, we already seen, like, again, like, everyone wants to be on World Star Hip Hop now. So you know
right.
some ratchet shit's going to happen, probably tonight. or probably next week, we're going to talk about something new. So I just throw my hands up sometimes. I just can't help it.
And Gene Stewart is saying that it was hood rat behavior. How you going to leave without paying your bill? Bill and I were saying it's serious when you, you know, makes it bad for regular folks when they go to just to go shop and, you know, eat and take their kids out to a place like Chuck E. Cheese, you know, which is sad. So it's just like, I don't understand that. Camera Lady is saying, how do you feel about Michael Bazin leaving radio? You know what, Camera Lady, I just heard about that today. Did they say why he was leaving? Because I didn't get to read the article. When I lived in North Carolina, I used to listen to Michael Bazin every day when I was coming home from work. That was my dude. I think it's too bad that he's leaving. He has one of them nice radio voices, too, real smooth.
Wipe your chin now.
Your wife listens to him all the time. But yeah, it's like world star hip hop is like the new thing. You know,
yes.
Like back in the day, you know, like how people used to get their fame back in the day, like if the news camera came to the neighborhood and you guys had that weirdo in the background jumping and flailing his arms, you're like, oh, there goes Jamal. There goes
yeah.
Jamal Mike. Ooh. Now, nope. Everybody's a cameraman. Just put up on World Star Hip Hop.
Yeah.
Now, I did hear about TJ Holmes. Did you hear about what happened to TJ Holmes?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I remember he was a CNN news anchor on CNN.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really like T.J. Holmes. I've been wanting to get him on the show. I haven't heard anything back from his PR people, though. But T.J. Holmes, he left. He left CNN to go have his own show on BET. And a lot of folks were talking mess to him, saying, you know, why are you going to leave? You know, CNN, they're looking out for you. Why are you going to go to ghetto BET? But he really wanted to make a difference. That's why he wanted to go to BET. And his first, I believe one of his first news stories was when he had interviewed little JoJo's mom and brother. So he started in BET, I want to say, back in November. And at first they gave him an hour slot. Within 2 weeks, they dropped his time down to 30 minutes. And everybody was like, how's he going to tell the news within 30 minutes? I had a feeling they were going to, you know, cancel his show. Now I come to find out that it's come out that they got rid of T.J. Holmes, which is messed up because he left CNN to go better BET's network to bring some positive, you know, some positive shows to BET, and then they get rid of him. But they're saying that the reason why he was fired is because he would not sleep with or accept sexual advances from Stephen Hill, the BET founder, president.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep, the story's coming out. They're saying that he was trying to get with him. And it's not the first time. For some matter of fact, they had sent me the story on Twitter. They had sent me the story on Twitter. And they said it's not the first time that he's been accused of trying to sleep with people. So I don't know.
Milk and cookies.
But yes, if you Google T.J. Holmes fired for not giving up the cookies to Stephen Hill. Stephen Hill's gay advances.
Wow.
So I don't know if sad if that's the reason. I think that's really unfortunate because T.J. Holmes is a really good, you know, news anchor. So I don't understand. Yeah, he tried doing like Chris Stokes, Bill and Herb. But I think he should have just stayed with CNN. I mean, he's just, I like his style, you know, the fact, like, you know, he's just very open, he's honest. So it's just kind of sad. Deborah Lee's funny looking, so she's still on BET. I can't stand Deborah Lee. I remember they did that suit for her on the Boondocks. That was so funny. Did you watch that episode?
Yeah. Black Eve on television. Oh, my goodness.
Yep, the gay mafia is no joke. They went after poor T.J. Holmes, and T.J. Holmes wasn't having it. So they're saying, if you Google, that's why they're saying that he left BET. So I don't know, but I think the whole situation is unfortunate, you know, and he really tried to bring something different to BET, something positive. And I think for them to have given him an hour slot and dropped down to 30 minutes, I just knew he wasn't going to end up being on BET much longer. Somebody said they should have used Don Lemon. I like Don Lemon too. That's my dude right there. VH1 Access. He's asking me about Beyonce's song. I made a video about that. I didn't like her song. I thought the song was just doing too much. You heard the song today. What you think? Because I said you probably like, because you're from the South. That Chopped and Screwed, Texas.
No, that's not Chopped and Screwed. That's just shit. That's just. I heard it, and I just wasn't that impressed. I mean, listen to the song. It basically just tells me I'm self-conscious because I hear what everyone's saying, and I'm pissed off because everyone put the photos on me at the Super Bowl, and they're putting me in there with the Ultimate Warrior, and I'm doing all kind of weightlifting competitions and crazy stuff. I'm sitting on Battle Cat. I don't think she liked all that stuff, so now she went in the studio to vent her frustration about people who shouldn't matter, which
what?
It sounds sad. I mean, it just sounds silly to me. I mean, that'd be like you putting a video out there, well, fuck you, such and such, and blah, blah, blah. Like, one, you're wasting your time, until you're making an ass of yourself. I mean, just like, come on now. I mean, that was a waste.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of crazy, and G. Stewart made a great point. He said, are you buying Donna B? Hell no, she's not paying my bills. Yeah, these fans can buy down. I don't buy down nobody. You are not Westside Connections. Bam, when you come to my town. Bam, when you eat your town. Bam. No, ma'am. I wouldn't buy down to them. I ain't going to buy down to Beyonce. But, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with her. You know, some people say that the song is really Illuminati-ish. And, very satanic, and somebody came with all these Bible verses on my videos. So I don't know. Maybe it is, but I'm just not feeling the song. I like Beyonce's other music. I just think this music is a little bit too young for her. I'm not feeling it. There's something I could see Rihanna doing, but not so much Beyonce. People ask me, do I believe that she was ever pregnant? I just would like to think, I guess for me, I always try to see the good in people. I just don't see the point of why she would have faked her pregnancy. Now, I remember she sat down and her stomach folded, that did look creepy to me, and I didn't watch the HBO special where she supposedly showed her off the side and rubbed on her stomach. I didn't watch it because I didn't care. But, I'm assuming it's her child. I've seen the videos where they're saying that she's using a real-life doll, and Blue Ivy doesn't really exist and everything else, but some of these conspiracies are just so far out there. Some conspiracies will just literally make you go crazy. So I don't try and feed into every conspiracy. It's not that serious to me.
Well, I believe she gave birth. You remember the movie Gremlins, right?
Uh-huh.
I think she did the same way. Just pour some little water, back swole up. There came the baby. Hey.
Yeah, it's just too much. And I agree, camera lady. He said some of these conspiracies are just to cause confusion. And I definitely agree. I call those type of conspiracies just like really crazy disinformation conspiracies. And VH1 Access is saying that her stans are going nuts over this song. Her stans, they had serious issues. They came out with a track list for Keisha Cole. Keisha Cole has something else to say about Beyonce. And they came out with a track list, Keisha Cole.
Oh.
Sit down.
I gotta write that name down.
They came out with a track list, and basically it was just dissing Keisha Cole. Track number one, who's my baby daddy? Track number two, my mom is a crackhead. Track number three,
wow.
I was raised in a project. It was just crazy. It was just going in on Keisha Cole. And I'm like, yeah, Kiki, haha. But some of these Beyonce fans, they just have too much time on their hands. Somebody doesn't like her music, that's their opinion. It shouldn't. Why are you so butthurt over it? Are you receiving, residual income from her? No, you're not. Keisha, but Keisha's going to say what she want to say the same way we're free to express ourselves and say what we want to say. Freedom is... Mm-hmm.
Well, when it comes to, stands, they're, non-profit security and, advertisement for someone. That the person that they worship does not give two shits about them, but they are so loyal, blindly loyal and faithful. I will never understand it, but, just like when you put videos out, and say what you say, you get these retards who will get mad, and then when you ask them for facts, then disappear. I mean, it's what they do. they have to cheer for someone, even though that they're under the barrel. But, I mean, that's how they live. Someone has to give them some kind of significance. Even if they don't even manage to get it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, it's kind of hard to understand. It's kind of like when you find out you're a genetic backwash and you want to feel like you're human. So this is what they do. They cling to somebody and, you know, they're going to be somebody of significance for me, even though I'm not even worth a fart. That's just basically just what they are. But, hey, fuck them, personally. Yeah, I said fuck them.
Right. People are saying that she's going broke. Nah, Beyonce ain't going broke at all. Plus, you know, she got Jay-Z in her pocket, too. So she got Jay-Z's pocket. So, nah, she's never going broke. That's probably, like, I just feel like once you get to a certain point and you're established and making a certain amount of money, you shouldn't give a damn. I don't give two shits what anybody says. But I guess she's human. You know, maybe she hears certain things and it just bothered her.
Well, it's not even about she's going broke. It's just the public and even white media is fucking tired of her. They're tired. When they're done with a superstar, you see how they still bring it up. Chris Brown, when that shit was years ago, but notice how you had all these other, you know, Hollywood stars who done beat their wives and doing shit like Mel Gibson and everything like that. They can still walk in the limelight without being harassed and everything like that, but they're still hanging on to OJ. And everyone else who done maybe some wrong, even Tiger Woods, and that shit's old. Or even Michael Vick, they're still jumping on his ass, and that was years ago. So they're very selective about who they like and who they don't like. And when they get tired of, especially when you're a superstar of color, you're going to get what Beyonce's been getting. They've been getting mad because she's been cursing. Who hasn't cursed? They don't say shit about Taylor Swift, who gets ran through. I mean, every song she comes through, that's a new dick she's fucking singing about. So no one says anything about that.
Right. Now, everybody's talking about the whole Wendy Williams situation. I don't know if you guys saw the letter, but Tatiana Ali was on Wendy Williams the other night. And I didn't watch it. I don't really watch Wendy's show like that, but I did hear about it. And she was asking her questions like if she ever, you know, had sex with Drake and this and that. Then she starts asking her about Aunt Vi from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the dark-skinned Aunt Vi. So they start, I mean, Vivian. So Tatiana, you could tell she was like real uncomfortable even talking about it. Plus, she was a little girl at the time. And anyway, Aunt Vi or Aunt Vivian, her real name is Jana Herbert. She got on Blog Talk Radio yesterday and went off on Wendy Williams. She went off on her. You know, basically called her out, said she's always disrespecting black women. She went in, she said there's nothing wrong with her being natural, you know, having natural hair, because Wendy Williams is all talking about, you know, there's no place for natural hair and all this other stuff. And she basically called out on her BS. You know, and I thought it was cool. Some people were saying that, you know, oh, well, she's mad and why she's so bitter. I don't take it as she was being bitter. I think she was just addressing the situation. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of these celebrities are regular people like most of us. And sometimes, you know, certain things can get under people's skins. You know, we're all human. She doesn't want anybody talking about her past with the Fresh Prince. She feels like, you know, she's done a lot since then. And for people to keep bringing that back up, it's not fair. And she went in. She really did. And what I don't respect about Wendy, you know, I don't really have any beef with her, but I understand that, you know, when she was on Hot 97 in New York and stuff like that, she was like the gossip queen. What bothers me with her is when she went in on Lil' Kim. Now, yes, we all know Lil' Kim has had plenty of plastic surgeries. Lil' Kim has, you know, self-esteem issues. For you to change yourself that much, there's obviously a lot of underlying issues there. But Wendy Williams don't look no better. You had nose jobs. Your boobs look like two big basketballs. She wears weaves. You know, you're no dime piece yourself. So it's like, why is she sitting here going so hard on Lil' Kim's face when half the people don't know if you're a man or a woman? You know, so I just kind of thought that was like the pot calling the kettle black. So I just thought it was, you know, Wendy Williams just kind of tasted there too much. And I'm not saying I agree with all Lil' Kim's plastic surgeries. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that's the pot calling the kettle black. How you going in on her face when your face looks like that? You look like you had all types of surgeries yourself. You know, so I just think the whole thing is just unfortunate. It just seems like sometimes as people of color, once we get to a certain celebrity status, we don't want to support other people of color, because Wendy Williams never goes in like that on white women. I've never seen her just roast, you know what I'm saying, a white lady and be like, oh, well, you did this, this, and she don't roast Big Ange, and Big Ange looks horrendous. She doesn't go in on her face and all her plastic surgeries, but it's like you want to go in on Little Kim, you want to go in on Janet Herbert. So basically Janet Herbert was calling her out on all this stuff, and it was just, it was a crazy, you got to read the letter, it was crazy.
I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, she's been known to start some stuff, even, you know, talk, I mean, slandered like a, you know, a Method Man and his family, and he was like really
pissed off. Oh, I remember that. He tried to whoop her butt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he wouldn't be wrong. I mean, that's a dude fighting a dude in drag. I mean, just, you know, come on now. I mean, that's a tall-ass dude. I mean, again, there's just so much that I see that is wrong with this character. And you're right, she doesn't go in on white stars or anything like that. It's always some people of color. But, like, she's the last one to talk, having surgeries and looking all chopped and screwed. So, well, Wendy's not a man, she's a tranny. If that's what you want to call it. Or a Decepticon.
You know, she never goes in on Big Ange. Willow just said she went in on Mary J. Blige by singing about fried chicken. She's went in on Beyonce. Beyonce stands. She said Beyonce talks like she has a fifth grade education.
Wow.
She went in on Whitney Houston. Whitney Houston went right back off on her. Go, Miss Whitney. Whitney Houston called her out. So, yeah, she does seem to go in on a lot of the black women, and I've noticed that about her. You know, and, you know, if you're not going to be the same all across the board, shut the hell up. You know, you have to be willing to go in on everybody. You know what I'm saying? Don't just not go in on black people because it's more convenient or because they're not really going to get on you as hard. Okay, y'all starting something. Y'all seeing my song in the chat room?
No, dude.
Crispy chicken, fresh lettuce. Y'all started it. Y'all typing up the lyrics.
Oh, Lord.
So we got like 3 minutes left. tonight was a fun show. Oh my God, y'all hear me cracking up in the chat room.
Oh my God.
But yeah, we're down to about 3 minutes here, so. But no, it was a really good conversation. And, you know, like I said, I just want everybody to take away from everything the fact that people need to be mindful of the things that they do, you know, especially when it comes to situations with the whole Steubenville rape case and things like that, and people drinking excessive alcohol and popping mollies and getting high off of lean. You know, you just have to watch yourself, because at the end of the day, nobody's going to look out for you like you.
No, you're right. You're right about that.
It's insane. Any last words, Ronan, before we leave off the air?
Try to stay ratchet free. every day we try to make history, because, like I said, black history is not limited to 28 days or 29 on the leap year. It's every day. Even people outside of people of color, try to carry yourself in a real upstanding, positive manner as best as possible. I know you're going to have your moments, but let them just be random moments, not every day. No mollies, no twerking at Walmart, no singing songs on the toilet, fighting at Chuck E. Cheese, or, you know, shoplifting a rainbow. None of that bullshit. Just try to be cool. That's all I got
to
say.
I'm going to need camera lady to not go twerking by the blood pressure machine. Willa Nurse said she's going to twerk by the housewares. I'm going to be twerking by the tofu section.
Twerking
y'all
that
know where that's at, huh?
Twerking at Danny's.
Twerking by the tofu. Twerking by the bean sprout. Twerking by the tofu. All right, we will see you guys next week. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Tonight was a really, really good show. I hope you guys got some good information out of it. Be careful with that lean. It is very addictive.
Yes.
That is all.
You will catch us all at the same black time, Blame Black Chattel.
Hi, bye, y'all. Good night.
Night, bitches.